In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
That is one long gospel, isn't it? It is the longest, this conversation with the Samaritan woman is the longest conversation that is recorded in the scripture that Christ has with one other person, the longest recorded conversation. And so, for this reason, we read it in its entirety. Now, like many of us, St. Fotini, the Samaritan woman who met Christ at the well, did not understand the significance of her encounter with Christ. He approached her, asking her for water, not because he needed water. He who caused water to flow forth from the rock for the Israelites as they wandered the desert. He doesn't need her to draw water for him, but he asked her for water by way of starting a conversation for her salvation, so that he might grant to her life. So he asks her for water for her sake. And her response is not a generous, "Oh, of course, here, let me get you some. You must be thirsty." But instead, she questions him rather bluntly. "Why are you talking to me?" And he lovingly responds and offers her life. And even still, once she has decided, "Yes, I want this living water. I want this everlasting life," she asks him for water, and yet she tries to have her cake and eat it too, even still. Or more accurately, she asks for the living water while still drinking the death of sin. And I say this because even after asking for the water, she tries to conceal the truth from him who is truth, claiming that she has no husband. And yet Jesus insists on the truth. The truth that she sought comfort through several relationships and did not find fulfillment in any of them. So this story, for me, begs the question, what do we expect from church? What do we expect from Christ? And maybe the more important question is, what are we really being offered? Community? Yes. The church gives us community. But this is a secondary thing. Perhaps guidance, the proper way to live our life. Perhaps. But proper living is rather the result of a life in Christ, not the primary thing that the church has to offer. It's true that the church offers comfort, but not the kind that comes from material wealth, other people, or simply drinking a cup of water. This idea that if I'm a good Christian, God will bless me with things, with comfort, is preposterous. All you have to do is look around or read the life of a saint. In fact, many of us know people near and dear to our hearts who are faithful people, who recently lost their home. The church does not offer us this sort of comfort, but the comfort in the hope that we have in the resurrection of Christ. The church offers us peace, but not peace because there is no conflict, peace because the things of this world are not our priority. And so all of the conflict that swirls around us don't bother us. The church offers joy. This is not the happiness that comes from having what you want, but learning contentment and remembering Christ's victory for us in his death and resurrection. Christ offers us water, not drawn from a well, dispensed from a sink, or drank from a bottle, but the living water for eternal life. And brothers and sisters, if we are coming to church for anything less than the fullness of life in Christ, we are missing out. And even further, if we leave the church without continuing to live in that fullness of life, we are missing out. All of our life is meant to be church, an act of worship and offering to God. In every litany that we say in the Divine Liturgy and in Orthros and in Vespers, every litany, usually at the end, the deacon encourages us, "Let us commend ourselves and each other and all our life unto Christ our God." And the response of the people is, "To thee, O Lord." Now it's important, this is absolutely important, that we do not say this mindlessly or without understanding. What we are saying is, "To thee, O Lord, I commend myself and each other and my whole life." Not just this hour and a half in the Divine Liturgy, maybe 2.5 hours if you add coffee hour. Maybe you even come to Orthros, and so then you're at 3.5 hours of Sunday commitment. Not just this little bit on Sunday, but our whole life, every moment, every breath. Saint Fotini asked Christ for water, but what did she really receive from him? She received life. For Christ's light shone in the darkness of her relationships with men to open the hidden sins in her heart and bring them to light. Now, at the time Christ met her, her name was not Fotini. This is her name that she was given in baptism. It means the one who bears light, both because she has been given light and because she brings it to others. And so in her encounter with Christ, she is offered water and illumination. And these are the exact images that we have of baptism and chrismation, water and illumination. Her encounter with Christ was also a type of communion with him. That same communion which we receive for the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. And so in meeting Christ at the well, Fotini became a Christian, a follower of Christ, through confession, through water, through illumination and communion, just as we do. And what was her response? From that moment, she began to live a chaste life. And then she went, and having believed in Christ, went and brought the whole city to him. And even after the resurrection, she then left her home and went and preached the gospel in North Africa, where she was ultimately martyred for Christ. And so what does that mean for us, her fellow Christians? For Christ has given us too the spring of water welling up to eternal life. And so we too must seek the fullness of life that Christ offers us and not be content with whatever life we try to make for ourselves. And living in this fullness of the life in Christ, we then bring the whole community to him, to his church. We need to start doing this more. Bring our friends and neighbors, our co-workers, to Christ's church. And we are to commend ourselves and each other and all our life unto Christ our God. Christ is risen.
Amen.